This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, One Carly Porch. How are we?
I'm good. I just had a little giggle to myself because every day producer Shelby hides a little hamster on our show plan.
Yeah, I saw it as well.
Now she's taken some creative liberties today because she's put the hamster between us. Now the hamster has evolved to wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah, I like it.
Now also, the hamster is no longer wearing the cowboy hat. I am.
Yeah.
Shelby got very creative this morning.
Yeehaw indeed. Yeah, the hamster's the one that's the meme at the moment, where it's this like pathetic little hamster thing and they just do this weird sad music and just cross to it.
If you've been on TikTok, you know the one.
Yeah, we use it quite often to represent Carly in awkward social situations, like driving.
Oh, like meeting new staff members the other day, my little flamingo.
Oh, God, that was so awkward.
Oh, that was so weird. How did I even end up giving her a nickname when I first met her?
I don't know. God.
I hope she took that as a compliment.
I think she did. She quit. Your letter tomorrow for Alpha Bucks. For the 1st of May, by the way. May tomorrow. It's going by May. N for Nelly.
Okay.
Starting with N, name me a tourist destination.
Ningaloo Reef.
Beautiful answer. That's not the answer on my sheet, but a great answer.
Niagara Falls.
Bang. There
Nigeria.
It is. I guess, yeah.
Nile.
New York.
New York.
Yep. Now, that's the first question, and I think it's a hint of a thinker. So you'll be able to bang that out, and then you'll be able to just fly through it, I reckon.
If that's the hardest, I think that's pretty good.
It's definitely one that will just have you thinking for half a second. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like it's something we haven't asked before.
Newman.
A tourist destination?
Yeah.
Newman?
Yes.
All right, mate. You go first. I mean, don't get me wrong. To the people of Newman, good morning. Hope you're having a great one.
I don't think I've been yet, have I?
No, and I haven't.
Ooh,
I've never
I can't
been.
Wait.
I've never been either. Here's what I know about Newman. Their Bottle-O has a cage around the whole thing, the whole building.
That's different.
It sure is.
Okay. What else? There's got to be something else.
Just mining.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a hard-working town.
It's a very hard-working town. Perfect for tourist visits.
There's one thing you want to do on holidays, it's work.
Yep. Yep. Look, it's got some stuff going on around it.
You know what? I'm going to look it up. Surely there'll be something to do. Every town has a draw card.
For sure. Newman. Look, here's what I'm saying. If you say Newman in your answer for Alpha Bucks tomorrow, I'm not going to award it.
Oh, here we go. Immerse yourselves in Newman's diverse attractions.
Here we go.
From the colossal Mount Whaleback iron ore mine. Oh, I thought that was a mountain you could climb.
There you go. Yep, go on.
To the tranquil oasis of Kalgan Pool.
Yep.
Oh, and the thrilling adventure of Eagle Rock Falls. This actually sounds amazing. Explore Hickman Crater, three pools, Gingiana Pools. I hope I'm saying that wrong.
I want you to get this up
Radio
on a map.
Hill. Alan, we would love that. Radio Hill.
No, I hate Radio Hill. You know how I feel about radio.
Radio Hill Lookout for further adventure. This actually sounds
like
a lovely place.
That's literally where our transmitter is.
The best.
You want me to go to Newman to look at our transmitter?
The origin. Oh my God! When you go on TripAdvisor and you put in Newman, it just says something went wrong. I'm not even joking.
I'm just saying. I love Newman, but I don't think even Newman would admit they're a tourist destination.
I don't know. I'm open.
No, I won't accept it.
Hold on. Oh, they've got the Newman Visitors Centre. Yeah, Radio Hill Lookout. Oh, East Pilbara Arts Centre. That sounds lovely. Hickman's Crater. That's where it begins and ends. What are people saying? Review. Oh, someone gave it 5-star review. A gem in the WA Outback.
I guarantee you, Bart, that visitor centre would be the most lovely visitor centre.
Oh, they always are.
Whenever they're in a spot where they have to work a bit harder, like in Newman, I guarantee you they're so lovely and they'd have like every nugget of information that you could possibly need.
100%. Karratha.
Yeah.
Their visitor centre is in a bit of an awkward spot.
It is.
But lovely.
It's near that big hill where the...
The water tower is.
The water tower is.
I thought our boss, Dan, kept wanting to go to the water tower. I didn't realize it was actually a lookout. So he's like, oh, we've got to go up
there. You've got to go up and check out the water tower, Carly.
I was like, okay, Dan, I've seen water towers
before. This is like 48 degrees. We're so hot. He's like, you've got to go up there, Carly.
And then I get up there and I realize that there was actually a beautiful lookout, not just a water tower.
Yep. Another great tourist destination, Karratha.
There you go. You know what? People on TripAdvisor are rating it.
Yeah, they're all grey nomads.
All three of them. There's actually three reviews.
Fantastic. Enjoy the podcast.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
How often should you be showering?
All right, I'll go first. I shower twice a day.
Twice.
Yeah, first thing in the morning, I have a shower. That's my probably more longer shower of the day. Like, yep. That's like my one where I'm using it to also wake up, brush my teeth. I brush my teeth in the shower. We've been over this. And just basically come to life in that shower. So normally it's like it's not water-wise, but, you know, it's anywhere between a 5 to 6 minute shower.
Must be nice.
But like I said, I'm really just kind of thawing out my body and waking up to the world. Yeah.
Sometimes I'll bookmark the day with a shower.
Yep.
Bookend.
So you're doing two showers a day like me? Yep.
Sometimes, depending on what I've done during the day, you always need that wake up shower. That's a given for me. But we're over showering. Over watering ourselves. If we're a plant, we'd die, Alan.
I don't think that's true.
It is, according to an environmentalist.
Of course, an environmentalist. Oh.
No, but then also there's other people that get involved in this, right? So a dermatologist as well, a skin expert, has also come out and said
that if
you've got prolonged daily showers, it can strip away the skin's microbiome. Microbiome.
I'm not here to correct you on any of those words.
There's some dermatologist somewhere screaming at the radio. We'll go biome.
Biome?
I wish there was someone smarter than both of us on this show.
Microbiome, isn't it?
Yeah, that sounds right. We'll go with that. Now, apparently that's the healthy skin's layers of oil and apparently the good bacteria that you need. And apparently if you're washing and scrubbing too often, it can remove these skins and then cause your skin barrier to be damaged. You don't want that.
I was wondering what that was. It makes sense now. I mean, first of all, this is coming out of environmental experts, so I immediately go, I don't know.
Yeah.
So when if Water Corp was released this, I'd be like, I don't know, guys.
Well, I only just started washing my legs.
What?
So I would, because you know how there was that whole debate about if you just let the water drip down, you know, I'm like, I don't need to. And also, I'm not the most flexible person, so you got to be in the shower. It's not a good look washing your legs in the shower.
Let me think about my shower now.
And
yeah,
I've got a very small shower, so every time I try and wash my legs, like I'm risking hitting my head, which happens a lot more than you'd think.
Mm.
It's a logistical nightmare in there.
I'd say outside of like the main body parts, my arms probably get the most washing. I don't know why, but my immediate reaction, because I use liquid soap, is I go straight to liquid soap, bang on the forearms, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, and then I start doing the more intimate body parts.
Yeah.
But the arms get probably the cleanest out of every body part of mine.
I feel like I'll be very lax with the showers.
Yep.
And then I feel like once or twice a week, I'll go all in. I'll treat it like a day spa. Look, I've got 5 different products on the go. I walk out feeling as slick as a dolphin.
With all those oils.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, okay.
So, I don't know. I feel like...
So, how often are we meant to be showering then?
Well, they said... Okay, now another dermatologist. We've got Julie and then we've got Joyce coming out. So, Julie's come out and said, you don't need to be scrubbing every single day. Oh, it's too much. You're going to ruin your skin.
Yep.
Then Joyce has come out and said, there's no one-size-fits-all approach.
Oh, okay.
So, she said the ideal frequency depends on your skin and hair type and how much you sweat and how dirty you get. Now, you and I, Alan, let's be honest.
What do you mean?
We ain't doing the hard yakka.
Lately, I have.
We ain't out in the yard. We ain't out in the elements.
I was hedging yesterday.
Versus someone that's come off a mine site at the end of a 14-hour day.
Those people obviously need to shower a lot more. They're covered with physical grossness. But me.
The bush scratched me. I need a five-hour shower.
Carly, do you want me to stop showering and come in here?
Remembering you share a studio space with me? I'm not going to pull at that thread.
Do you want? Because I'll do it. I'll come in stanky, if that's what you want.
Actually, you know, I'm going to modify my shower.
Okay.
So I'm
finally putting in that chair there so you don't fall. Getting the safety rail.
No, my friend on the weekend, because I've started getting suffering from hair loss.
Okay.
And my friend said it's because of my shower pressure. So she sent me a link to a filter that you put on your shower. So it's not as, because I've got a bald spot right in the back of my head where the water hits. So I'm going to put this filter on my shower so that it's not making me bald.
What are you like not moving in the shower? You just stand perfectly still.
Pretty much.
Okay, now I know you're not cleaning yourself at all. You're standing there.
Just not moving.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
We had a bit of an experience coming into work today. In fact, I was driving into work and my phone rang from an unknown number and I went, well, I'm going to answer it because I always do. I love the danger. And it was Carbo, who does our news.
Yeah.
And he just said, hey, mate, just letting you know, I've just pulled into work. And there's a snake in your parking spot downstairs. I was like, I'm so sorry. What? I missed all of that. He goes, yeah, there's a snake. It looks like it's sleeping. It's all curled up.
I like to think because he's our news guy, he would have been like breaking news.
Yeah, he didn't. I wish he did. But he was just like, just warning you when you come in, you might want to park somewhere else. I put a little crate next to it so people don't accidentally like walk over or something.
Oh, that was you that did the crate.
No, he did that, not me. And he's like, just letting you know. I'm like, okay, easy. So first thing I do, I go, you know, okay, Google, ring Carly. So I let you know. And you're like, cool. Thanks for the heads up. Ring up Shelby, let her know. Ring up a couple other people that are in early as well. And then I arrived to work to see, as described, a sleeping snake coiled around in my parking spot.
Mm. Now, you and I did not want to go near that thing. I also don't have an alternative parking spot. So no. I had to park kind of close-ish to it.
Yeah, I led you in. I was like, yeah, that'll be fine.
Now, there is another guy that we work with here, Rami.
Yep.
Now, he was the first one to go, I think that's a fake snake. And we were like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well, it was black and shiny and it looked like a Dugite. I was kind of like, it's got Dugite energy and I'm scared. And I was going to get close enough to examine that because it did look pretty calm, like it wasn't moving at all. And so I was like, you know what? Don't bother it. Because what happens is, what if it wakes up, it starts crawling all over us
Let a sleeping snake sleep, as they say.
As they say.
Until Rami went up and poked it.
With the crate.
And we found out it was fake.
It was fake.
Which we still haven't got to the bottom of who actually did that.
It was one of the team from yesterday afternoon has done it. I don't know why they've done it, but we all thought it was real. Because everyone was like, oh, Carb. Everyone was like, Alan, you pranked us. I went, no, not me. Honestly, not me. I was pranked as well. And then they're like, well, Carbo must have pranked you. And I'm like, I'll tell you why I know it wasn't him. Because I grabbed that fake snake and scared the absolute hell out of him in the newsroom like minutes later.
Now, it is a tale as old as time.
Yeah.
Pranking someone with a fake snake.
Absolutely.
But sometimes it's a real one.
Yes.
Because snakes can pop up in the weirdest of places. As
that
someone
is true.
That lived in Queensland for a lot of years, I can attest to that.
Which got us thinking on 131060, it's an oldie but a goodie. Where did you find a snake?
Now also, tell us the story.
Yeah.
And then we're going to try and guess if it's a real or fake snake. Because people love to hide fake snakes.
Oh, okay. A bit of a twist on it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, 131060, with that in mind, where did you find the real or fake snake? And then from there, we'll, I guess, figure out from your story if it was a real or fake one. I swore it was real this morning.
That looked so real.
It
Have
really
we
did.
Confirmed that it wasn't like a real one that's not with us?
No, it's not real. I picked it up and chased everyone around with it. So
yeah, I remember that. That was the most cardio I've done in years.
Including yourself, actually. You did freak out hard. All right, 131060, where did you find a snake? We'll take your calls now. Let's kick it off. Jens in Manjimup. Hello.
Hello.
Now, tell us the story, please.
So, not me, but my boss. He found himself a snake in the footwell of his car underneath his pedals.
Oh. I'm leaning towards fake snake.
Me too, because I feel like there's someone that's like in the office.
It's the boss.
I feel like all the employees were in on it and were like, we're going to prank the boss, which is a brave thing to do.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to say it was fake. And I'm actually going to go one further and say you were the person that put it there, Jens.
Jens?
You're half right because I put it there, but it was a real snake.
Oh, what the hell, Jens?
Okay, that is the plot twist of a century and I've got questions.
You picked up a live snake.
No, it had been run over already. So
oh, thank God.
It was a safe prank. Come on now. I wasn't that reckless.
A, how did your boss react? And B, did he fire you immediately?
No, he didn't fire me immediately, but it took him about 3 hours to send me a message saying, I'm going to get you back for that because he was that upset with me.
And did he?
No, I got him about.
He's probably going to outsource it and get someone else to do it.
I love that. And let's just for the record, I don't condone killing snakes. That snake was already dead. Just to clarify, let's go to Tim in Australind. Tim, talk us through it. Where did you find a snake?
Oh, mate. Well, we were out grading, out doing maintenance grading out on the roads in the bush there. And we had stopped for smoko on the side of the road there. And I found a snake on the side of the road there as I was walking up to the ute to go and have our smoko, but the boss and the other guys had already got out of their machines and they were sitting there munching away. So I got this snake and coiled it up under his seat in the grader and went and had my smoko quite merrily with the boys, and I was sitting back waiting for his reaction when we got back in. And anyway, we'd finished our smoko and I was waiting for him there to get in his grader, and the next minute I hear this hell of a scream. He jumps up and bashes his head on the roof.
Oh, no.
Jumps out of the cab. He doesn't even use the steps of the cab. He just jumps out from the top, lands on the ground, and does a 360 barrel roll on the ground, and starts swearing his head off.
Yep.
So that was pretty much my prank, and well, I couldn't stop myself laughing. I almost died of laughter.
That's a real snake, 100%.
Obviously, it's a real snake.
A real dead snake.
Yeah, real snake.
No.
Okay, I've got so many questions about, A, how many people are just...
playing around with dead snakes? Yeah, I don't like that either.
But also the pranking the boss part of all the people.
No, that's fine. I like that. That's good gear. I like that. But yeah.
Our boss listening to this right now, side-eye.
I ain't touching a snake live, yeah, dead.
You know what, like, Dan? You're safe. We're not touching a snake.
Yeah, Dan, you can sleep easy knowing that ain't coming your way. I don't even want to touch the plastic one in this office. No, thank you.
Alan and Carly, the podcast. Naughty at 6:40.
This is where we get a little bit more risque in the show, certainly more adult content. But this one, I mean, it is adult, don't get me wrong, but it's no more adult than you'd find on David Attenborough. You know what I mean? Like, kind of, right?
Yeah.
He kind of would talk about this with his cool voice.
Well, you know what? It's educational. It's the circle of life. It's nature.
I don't know if you'd word it quite the same as this article does as a fish orgy. But the last...
Now, my favourite thing about this article is how they've broken it down about the fish orgy, and they've gone when, why, and what, and how.
Yes.
Very educational.
It's the questions we all have, because at the moment, scientists are all weighing in on millions of fish are flocking to California beaches for a sex party.
Oh, yes. California girls.
California.
My mind went to Katy Perry's California Girls.
Went straight to OC. But yes, a lot of fish, they're getting out there and getting it on the coast, as you do. Now, I mean, we're on holiday.
They're actually blaming the moon on this.
Yeah, they are. They're saying
blaming it or... complimenting it.
Blaming on the moonlight. I get it. You can't fight the moonlight.
I'm fine. Well, these guys can't. They embrace it.
They certainly cannot. So they're saying that these Californian, a secret that's been done, the frisky fish are hot dog sized. I never really used the unit of hot dog as my unit of measurement. But anyway, they're hot dog sized fish. And the female fish come to land. They wriggle and twist their bodies. They're making a little nest in the sand. They lay their eggs and they wait for the men to arrive. The men come along and they go, hey, you want a little bit of this? And then they give a little bit of that. And then next thing you know, there's a whole lot of little baby fish.
I love what the fish are called too, grunions.
Grunions.
Bit of an insight.
That's what they're doing, mate. Really getting on under the moonlight.
But imagine accidentally swimming through this.
Oh,
that was
yuck.
My thought. Because they do say it gets a little messy.
Yuck. Going for a little midnight swim.
Is that how caviar's made?
I think
so. Because you know they love caviar
eggs.
In LA.
I like caviar. It's good.
Do you reckon there's a bunch of people there just scooping it all up, making money?
That made it.
Now, well, it's expensive caviar.
You know what? You've made me not like caviar anymore. There you go.
I don't think I ever had a taste for it, to be honest.
I certainly don't now. Yeah. Well, anyway, next time there's a full moon out, keep an eye on the fish in the ocean because they could be getting
Is it a good time to go fishing, maybe?
Yeah, but they're only hot dog size, can you? I mean, per my choice of unit of measurement.
BYO bun.
BYO bun, absolutely. Well, anyway, they're getting it on, so, yeah, keep an eye on the shores.
This turned into a word of warning?
Well, I don't know. What else do I say? Like, I mean, I don't want to swim through it. You've really put that kind of out there, and that's kind of really grossed me out.
Well, you won't catch me in the ocean, so.
Well, that's true.
There you go. And this is why.
What are you scared more of?
Just one of the many reasons.
Sharks or swimming through a fish orgy?
I don't like things touching me. As long as the shark stays away, I'm okay.
Okay.
Just the idea of fish flapping on my body, I don't like it.
They're just flapping about. Yeah, no, it's a no for me as well. Nah, no.
And also, I don't want to turn them off their game, you know?
Yeah. Alan and Carly, the podcast.
I want to talk about yesterday, the most hectic 12 minutes I've experienced in quite some time. I've been getting a lot of flat pack furniture delivered lately. It's the bane of my existence. And at the moment, because we've got rain expected today, I've had to move it all from where it was in the garage to inside. So I've had a lot of work ahead of me. And I'm not even putting it all together yet.
Can I just say, like, there's a common theme ever since you found out the baby's coming. And, like, they speak
Spending
about
money.
How... They speak about how women love to nest.
Yeah.
I feel like you were... I've never seen anyone nest harder than you.
Yeah, I
like,
am
you're
nesting
trying
hard.
To build the biggest nest ever.
My theory is I want to do all the things for the house so I never have to do another thing again. That's my goal.
Right.
So that way it's just all done. And then I can just sit in my house and not ever have to deal with anything.
Oh, because, you know, once the baby comes, you'll just be relaxing the whole time.
No, but that's something I can put all my attention into the baby time versus like having to put together a set of drawers.
I mean, yeah, it's a good theory.
So I have the delivery guy come and he has one of those big vans. You know those ones where it's like, oh, it's almost a trunk, but it's a huge van.
Why do they always slam the door so hard on those?
He sure did. So he comes in. And so just to give you an idea of how this whole hectic 12 minutes starts, I'm peeing. I go to the toilet and I'm peeing. This knock, bam, 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 the most aggressive knock I've ever heard.
He's a busy man.
He knocked so hard, I stopped midstream.
That's a get out here. I got four more deliveries to make in the next half an hour.
Quickly wash my hands. I'm not going to lie. Half a bit of soap used. Not the full wash I would normally after a hand washing.
I hope you didn't shake his hand.
I didn't. Open up the door. He goes, yep, here for the delivery. I'm like, yep, no problem. I'll open up the garage door. Here we go. So I go around the other side. I didn't really get a chance to clock how he had parked, but I've got a driveway. My car's on one side, and then there's the spot for where anyone else can park. He's come in. He's taken up the whole drive. I'm like, yeah, cool, whatever. He's reversed it in. So we get the flat pack stuff out. I start putting it all in. Yep, easy. I look over. I can hear. Now, it's bin day yesterday.
Yeah.
And I can hear to my right the sound of a garbage truck coming. My bin hasn't been emptied yet.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, no. Of all the times, why is he coming now? And I look over and I can see my bin is leaning up against this guy's car. As he's coming, he must have just knocked the bin
It's
still upright, but it's against his car. Yeah. The garbage truck, as I'm slowly like trying to get the thing, I'm just taking it all, putting it all inside. The garbage truck drives past.
He doesn't take your garbage. And you're about to have a lot of boxes.
It's already filled with all sorts of rubbish. And I'm just like, oh no. The guy leaves. As he leaves, he collects the bin and knocks it onto the road it all just spills out. And I'm like, what is happening?
I feel like this is the universe like preparing you for parenthood.
So I go out to the road and I start collecting this trash and putting it back into my garbage bin. It stinks. There's a lot of kitty. You've smelt my bin.
Yeah.
You know it gets rank in there. And I'm just putting stuff in there.
More context to that, but let's move on.
Disagree.
If you know, you know.
I start loading it all in and I get it upright. And then as I like slowly like trying to lift, it's a heavy bin. I lift it upright. I can hear the sound of the garbage truck. He's coming back around, baby.
Oh, what a hero. Guy.
He comes, he collects the rubbish. I give him a thumbs up. He gives me a thumbs up and it's a moment. And then I go to go inside and I'm like, oh my goodness, what a crazy time. Really need to wash my hands now, that's for sure. Hit the door buzzer. As it comes out, it hits the recycling bin that I put in so aggressively and the thing buckles.
So wait, do you need a whole new recycling bin?
I don't want to talk about it. It was a hectic 12 minutes. It's all fixed now. I fixed it.
How'd you fix the bin?
Oh, it wasn't the bin. It was the door that was the issue. Yeah, I just had to...
Oh, okay.
Whack it hard.
Jeez, those bins are strong.
Yeah, no, it really was. Yeah, so hectic 12 minutes.
Did you get the flat pack done?
No.
Sounds like you were pretty flat after that.
I'm a flat pack myself. Need a lay down and an aggressive hand wash, but here I am again today, ready for another great day of flat pack furniture.
Just, you know, you can get people to do that stuff.
I don't want to pay for that.
That's
so true. I'm already paying for it anyway. Mentally and physically.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast. This is it.